Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Can we give each other hope?
Second Chances this evening. I'm Hilaria Asumu, and I know a lot of people have been waiting for this topic today because have been discussing about it all through the week. So welcome, and wherever you are, I hope that you're relaxed. It's a Sunday evening, nice, warm, and for once we don't have any rain. It did rain earlier today, and I was thinking, oh my god, am I going to be able to make it to the studio? But here I am, and you know, talking about this topic, which is really, really important. So before I start, I want to give a shout out to my big brother Victor Ogbo, who celebrated his 70th birthday yesterday, and I was right there in the room with him, celebrating with everybody from the Mansag community in Manchester, celebrating. Mansag is an association of Nigerian doctors in the UK, and they are spread all across the UK. But yesterday we came together to celebrate one of ours, who was celebrating his 70th. So happy birthday, Uncle Victor, as I call him. And I hope that you had a great time yesterday. I had to leave early, but I don't know what time you people left. But, you know, it was really, really great to see such a young man celebrating. And, yeah, you were putting in the steps as well. I really enjoyed myself. And I hope everybody there enjoyed themselves as well. So welcome again to the show. As I said, I'm Hilaria Asumu, and I'm your host for this evening on Radio Africana. And I hope you're ready for this topic that we're going to be talking about today. Last week, we opened a conversation about living kidney donation and what it means, why it matters, and why so many in our communities are not having that conversation at home. The response was overwhelming. Messages, calls, emails, people who have been carrying this quietly for years. And what came through again and again was one question. Not should I donate? Not how do I register? The question was this: what happens after? And what does life actually look like when you say yes and then you go home? That is what we're here today for. And most of the conversations I have offline, they usually decide what I'm gonna say in the at the next weekend. So please keep your messages coming, keep your calls coming. When you see me out and about in town, grab me for a few minutes. You guys know that I'm all about organ donation and kidney disease, because I was there and I didn't have anybody to ask questions. So I'm here every week to bring one issue that you are talking about amongst yourself, or actually thinking about it in your head and thinking, who do I speak to? So I'm here to take that question or that thing you're thinking about or that topic you're thinking about and bring it to you the next week, because I have access. As I said, MANSAG is an association of doctors, Nigerian doctors across the UK, and other specialists as well. So that includes nurses, scientists, and all of them. So if you have any questions, just ask away and I'll be willing and happy to take it up with my friends and, you know, family, and find out those information that you need to help you make that decision. So today's episode is made in partnership with NHS Blood and Transplant, as you know, all the other episodes, because they are the one funding me being able to hold these radio sessions every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Radio Africana. So there's going to be real information, real lives, real stories. I'm going to be playing one today for you, and I know that you want to hear what this young woman has to say. So in the next hour, you're going to hear about my own recovery. You're going to hear from one of the donors from working with NHS BT quietly and directly. We are going to dismantle 5 myths that are costing lives in our communities, and you are going to talk. Honestly, we are going to talk honestly about what it means to carry a gift you did not ask for and the relationship that comes with it. So stay with me. So I want to play you the first song, which is Rise Up by Andra Day. And I hope you enjoy, because when we come back, I'm going to be telling you about how I managed after my transplant. I'll see you back here in a little bit.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we can walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move on days. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it 1,008 times again. And I'll silence is quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet. Move mountains. And I'll rise up.
was Andra Day with Rise Up. Welcome back. She wrote the Rise Up before she knew who would need it, because that is so apt for what I'm going to be talking about today. But everybody who has worked through something hard and kept going, this is your song. Hold on to it. So in this next segment, I'm going to I did say that, you know, before we went into the music break, that I'm going to be talking about my experience after I received my transplant as a recipient. So the first 24 hours, I've written a few things down, the first 24 hours post-transplant activity, it felt like, you know, I was in a fugue. I didn't want to believe, you know, it was really hard believing that I'd received a transplant after waiting 10 years. What was happening? How did this miracle happen? And it was so unreal. I felt maybe I was dreaming. I kept pinching myself and thinking, this is not true. And I sat in the chair in the ward. The nurses came and they were trying to get me to lie down, because normally people who just come out of the theater, they lie down. But no, I wasn't lying down. I was sitting down there. I was praying. I was laughing. I was just thinking about my donor who had died to give me a kidney. Not because, you know, I wished him dead, but, you know, it was just unfortunate circumstances. And I felt that pain as a mother that his mother would be going through. And, you know, at that time, I realized that I'm not going to die anymore. I'm going to live. I'm going to see my children grow up. I'm going to see my younger sisters become adults, have children, realize their dreams and everything. And they've done that today. And in that moment, I understood that the decision that mother made in grief to give her son's organ, her son's not just his one organ, all these organs, about six or seven of them, to help six or seven people like me who were waiting. I don't know who the other recipients were, but all I had was just a little information about this person, this young man. They tell you he's a male. They don't tell your name. They just tell you that, you know, this is what happened. This is the situation. Are you willing to accept the organ? And you decide yes or no. I know some people refuse it, but I wasn't going to refuse it. 10 years of waiting for a transplant? No way. I want to live again. And I accepted it. And you know, in that time, thinking about that mother making that decision, even if she knew that, you know, her son was going to die, I think for me, I didn't know if I could, if I would have the strength to make that decision. And you know, and sitting there, I prayed for her. And when I eventually got in touch with her, I told her a lot of what the sacrifice she's made, what it meant to me till today. And then, you know, after leaving the hospital, it was a physical recovery. Nobody told me about the fatigue. Nobody told me about the medication. Nobody told me about the weight of monitoring my own body, because you have to be careful, because obviously you have a foreign body in your body, and your body, your antibodies were primed to refuse that strange object that's been sent into your body. So I did have some rejection, but they used antibiotics to help my body accept. That is why I'm on a lifetime medication. I'm actually one of the lucky ones. I think I take about 10 or 12 tablets. I don't count them, I just swallow them. But there's some people I know who take 35. And that is, it's a huge task to do. Drink all those tablets in one go. Not easy, especially when you hate medication. But then it was the tiredness, but you know, that euphoria in the first few weeks were with me, that I was able to travel to Parliament to speak to many ministers there. However, the time I started feeling really well was after the weeks we're supposed to be in the house. It's called sort of like a puda. You don't go out, you don't mix with people to help yourself. And, you know, I actually came out, I went out, and I felt like things were going back to normal. Yes, you would say that, but there are other underlying conditions, so don't get me wrong. It is not really a cure, it's just a treatment that stops you going on dialysis. And I was there. And, you know, I felt well. I was able to go out. I was able to meet with people. And, you know, a lot of other things that I started doing. But unfortunately, as we all know, when you have a long-term health condition, there is nobody to hold your hand and tell you what to expect. You have to speak to other people. And I thank the specialist nurses for organ donation who were there at the beginning. And also, one thing people don't talk about is gratitude. A lot of recipients are so grateful to their donors. And believe me, that gratitude has no ceiling. The question always comes up, why me? And with that question and an answer that you are trying to find, there's a responsibility that comes with it, with that answer. And that responsibility is, what can I do to pay this forward? What can I do to show how grateful I am that somebody, despite their grief, agreed to organ donation? And I felt that. And sometimes you have to be mindful that you don't overdo things. And you have to be mindful that you don't tire yourself out. And that was where I was. For anybody who is listening right now and thinking about, you know, becoming a donor, this is how most of us feel. We want to give back. If we can get in touch with you, we want to give back. We want to give back to other people. And that is why you find a lot of recipients doing one thing or the other with NHS Blood and Transplant or with Kidney Research UK or any other kidney charity they can find, or they set up theirs just to make a difference and to pay the kindness forward. And my recovery has changed my relationship with time, with my body, with my community. I make a lot more efforts to help other people, not just kidney patients, but other people within the community with anything they want to do. You want to do something and you think that, you know, you want that support, you want that help, I'm there to help. I am there to, you know, explain to people about kidney disease and organ donation. And I will go to any event to talk to people. And just recently at the RCCG church in Little Houghton, City of Praise, they had an event, their 20th anniversary. Congratulations, by the way, Pastor Tunde, Pastor Bayo, and Pastor Tunde's wife, on your 20th anniversary. This is the first time I'm able to actually shout out loud for all the work you're doing in the community. Thank you so much, and for welcoming me into your church to speak to your congregation and talk to them about different issues around kidney disease and organ donation. Thank you so much for all the work that you are doing. So before we go into the break, I want you to take a moment with what I've said previously, because recovery is not a straight line. It winds, it doubles back, and some days you wake up and you cannot believe how far you have come. Other days, you are not sure you have moved at all. And that is a constant feeling with people who have received a transplant. And in some of those moments, the triumph and the quiet, there is a song that keeps coming back. And that song is, well, for me, one of the songs that comes back to me is I Testify. And this is the song I want to play right now. I Testify by Ada Ehi, because I'm testifying at the goodness of God. I'm testifying at the goodness of a mom who, despite her grief, agreed to organ donation. I want to say thank you. And I want to testify that for the people around me, the love, the constant love, the constant support that you've given to me, I appreciate it. And I most especially want to mention Tinuola Muhammad, who decided for some reason to just join me as a volunteer to help me spread the news about organ donation and kidney disease. She is tireless. Tinuola, thank you very much. I hope you're listening, and I just wanted you to know that I really appreciate you. Here is I Testify by Ada Ehi. I'll see you back here in a minute. I Testify by Ada Ehi. I hope you enjoyed that, because we all have something to testify about. There are miracles happening in our lives right now, and we just have to find that little time to testify and thank God for all the miracles that He's working in our lives. So welcome back, and now we want to talk about an organization which has been existent for a long time in the UK, the NHS Blood and Transplant. And they have been working with kidney patients and donor families for a very long time to support them right from when it was an opt-in process. And they worked tirelessly, and just even recently, got together a lot of, you know, medical professionals to look at how organs are being used in the UK. And they've made recommendations to the government on how to make those organs that are wasted, to make them count in one way or the other, either through research or otherwise. And I'm so glad that I was a part of that group. Thank you so much, NHS BT, and also Kidney Research UK, who have just started a new scheme where recipients or anybody can sign up to help people who want to check their blood pressure. So they've actually welcomed blood pressure ambassadors, and I'm one. I know I do so many things, but this was an opportunity I couldn't pass up, because I go to events and what's the use of sitting down doing nothing when I can actually help people understand, you know, what their blood pressure is and if they should go see their GPs. I can't give medical advice, but I can help you look at the numbers and say you need to go and see your GP. And I did that last weekend at the RCCG Church City of Praise in Little Houghton. And I did quite a lot of people and referred two people from there. So if you have an event and you want someone to check your blood pressure, reach out to me. So I was talking about NHS Blood and Transplant. They've been collecting voices, a lot of voices, including mine. People who are talking about their stories, what has happened with them, and how either they donated or received a transplant. Real people who said yes to organ donation and then had to figure out what life looked like afterwards. So I have a recording I want you to hear. I want you to listen to the way you would listen to someone sitting across from you at the kitchen table, because that is who this is. I'll see you back in a little minute.
Hi, my name is Derica, and I donated a kidney to my dad in November 2019. My dad was diagnosed with chronic kidney disease, so I offered to become a living kidney donor. At that point in time, I didn't know anyone else that had donated. I was also scared and anxious because this was my first ever surgery in life, and I was only 23 at the time, but I definitely had a lot of support from the NHS and also the GOLD community. I actually got the opportunity to learn what it was like from someone that actually lived the experience and someone that had already donated. My dad is now living his best life. Like, he travels all the time. He is back at work and he is completely happy, and he's actually able to play his dominoes and go back to his social life. After donating, life resumed to normal. I'm back on my career journey and I'm also able to travel. My life hasn't changed that much, other than the fact that I'm now able to speak as a living donor and actually give back to my community. It is an experience that I would do again, so I would say definitely donate if you are able to.
Want you?
Hi, I'm Sarah. I donated my spare kidney to my son in April 2008.
Yep. Okay, so that was a technicality. So I want you to sit with that for a moment. A little pause. Think about that young girl taking that decision to donate to her father. Because what she just described, that ordinary life they went back to, with something extraordinary now part of their story, that is what this is. It's not always dramatic. It does not always have to look like a headline, but sometimes it looks like making breakfast, going to work, watching your children grow, and knowing quietly that you did something that made that life possible for someone else. You heard her say, her father went back to playing his dominoes. He went back to his ordinary life with that one kidney from his daughter, and she living with the other kidney and going back to work, doing what she was used to. That is a gift that we cannot quantify. We cannot place a value on it, because there is no value, but there is a greater value, which is life. That bond will remain between that father and his daughter. I find myself thinking about grace in these moments, the kind that does not announce itself, the kind that shows up. And you know, Mary Mary wrote a song about exactly that, about being seen when you did not expect it, about grace that finds you quietly. Here is Somebody by Mary Mary, and hopefully when you come back, we will talk a little bit more about what happens after you said yes. I'll see you back here in a minute. Somebody, I hope you've enjoyed that. Now, I want to talk about something that gets in the way of more people making this decision to donate. Not from lack of love, not from lack of willingness, but fear. Specifically, the stories we tell ourselves about what donation means. Some of the stories are not true. They are just stories that we pick up along the way on the internet, on WhatsApp, in WhatsApp groups, on social media, or talking to people, and again within our communities, word of mouth. And I want us to deal with that today. I've heard people talk about this in church halls, at family dinners, on WhatsApp groups, and every single one of them has cost someone a decision they might otherwise have made. And one of the myths that we hear is that donors never fully recover. You just heard that young girl who donated to her father, and she said she went back to work. Let me be direct. The majority of living donors return to normal activities within 4 to 6 weeks. It all depends on the person. At most 6 weeks. The remaining kidney adapts. Long-term kidney function sometimes does stay healthy in over 95% of cases. That is not my number. That is NHS Blood and Transplant. I'm actually reading it from what I've written down. Donors recover and donors go home and they end up living full lives. So there might be one case or the other. That's why I said 95% of donors. There might be some underlying conditions that raises its head, or you know, something or the other happens. But donors do go on to live normal lives, normal full lives. The second myth is that recipients have to be careful forever. They can't live normally. Oh, look at me. For those of you who know me, you know Hilary Asuma. You know I'm that woman around town who is always looking for that opportunity to speak about her experience, to actually tell people about what she's been through and what organ donation has done for her. And not just that, I am within the community. I'm a counselor. I am the founder of a charity, WSHBME Kidney Network. All of you know me, and I just told you, I'm now an ambassador for blood pressure. So I'm everywhere. Yes, I understand there are underlying conditions that we cannot put to one side. It comes with the territory. We get used to it. We live a normalish life. And yes, when that time comes, we end up in the hospital and that's it. There's nothing we can do about it. But we bounce right back and we're out there doing what we know best. Well, I do what I know best, which is raising awareness about not just deceased donation, but also living donation. Yes, recipients also take immunosuppressant medication for life. Everybody knows that. That is true. What is also true is this. I've just told you that, you know, a few things that I do. I host this show every week, and there is no day I'm not thinking about what else can I add to this program to get people engaging with me, to get people, you know, calling through to ask questions. I am a kidney transplant recipient. That is my evidence. Another myth is black families don't donate. It is against our culture. Mm-mm, that's not true. That young girl you heard earlier on, she is a donor. There is an organization in London called GOLD, Gift of Living Donation. It's a group of living donors from the black community who have donated their organs to a brother, sister, child, father, mother. They are a group who are preaching the word, who are telling people that you can be a donor. And they are headed by Della Ido, who put herself forward to donate to her brother. While she might not have donated to her brother in the end, she went on to set up this organization to raise awareness in our community, the black community, about organ donation and why it's important that we as a community think about donating within our community, not just to our family. So there's no single black culture position on organ donation. There has never been. And in many African Christian traditions, giving life is a sacred act. In Islam, preserving life takes precedence. And if you're a Muslim, you know this. In the African worldview that I was raised in, what you give to your community defines you. The myth persists because the conversation has been too quiet. And we need to take control of that. We are changing that on this show every week. So please keep joining and keep sharing this show to your friends, family, neighbors, people you see on the streets. Start the conversation and get them to listen and call in to ask questions or just to join and listen. Myth 4 is that if you are on the donor register, the NHS will not try as hard to save you. That is not true. It has never been and it will never be. The clinical team responsible for saving your life is entirely different from any transplant or donation process. They do not know your registration status. They do not ask. They are there for one purpose, your life. This is enshrined in law. It is enshrined in medical ethics. It is not up for debate. So take that out of your mind right now. Myth 5 is that donation is for other people and not for us. Who told you that, Aproko? Who told you? It is for everyone. This is the one that costs the most life, because here is what is true. Black patients in the UK wait significantly longer for kidney transplant than white patients. We are killing ourselves. Just don't sit there and start talking nonsense in your head or talking with your neighbor and say, it's not for us. It is for us. If we're not donating to each other, who are we going to donate to? Yes, of course, we can receive organs from other people, but we all know, I've been singing this for years. The donation can only be successful if we get that donation, that transplant, from somebody from our own ethnic background. So take that thing out of your head. It is not for us. It is for every single one of us. Whether you're white, blue, green, yellow, black, it is for each and every one of us. Donation is not for other people, though. It is for us. Specifically, urgently, right now. So please, let us start thinking about each other. If you're listening right now, you're thinking, this woman, they talk too much. I am talking too much because we do not listen. Because once you listen, it goes through one ear and it comes out of the other. Today, I am telling you, these five myths are five lies that have cost lives. Now you know the truth. The next time you hear one of them, whether at your table, in your church, in your family group chat, you have the answer. Use it. I am not just talking into air for nothing. So we're going to take a moment now, not a quiet moment, a victory moment. Let's do a victory lap around the studio, should we? Because dismantling a lie that has cost lives, that is a victory. So Kirk Franklin knows exactly what to do with this moment. Champion. Here is Kirk Franklin. I'll see you back here in a minute. Don't go away. Franklin and Dante Bow with the song Champion, because that is what you are if you're still standing as a transplant patient and as a donor. I want to give a shout out also to the Donor Family Network. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for, you know, on behalf of all recipients, I want to say well done and thank you. God bless each and every one of you donating not just your organs as a living donor, but also those of relatives. Thank you very much. Now I want to go a little bit deeper, somewhere deeper. I want to talk about what happens to the relationship between a donor, a recipient, and the space between them. And this is the conversation nobody tells you to prepare for. So when someone saves your life, what do you owe them? Think about it. I have thought about this question for 8 years. I've turned it over in the middle of the night when I can't sleep. I have brought it to prayer. I have brought it to therapy. And I'll tell you honestly, I do not have a single clean answer. What I have is this: a practice, a way of living with it. My transplant came from a family who made a decision in the worst moment of their lives. Someone they loved died, and in that grief, in the hours when nothing makes sense and the world has gone completely silent and quiet, they said yes. They said, let something good come from this. I do not know everything about them, but I carry what I know carefully. And what I know is this. Their yes is the reason I'm sitting down here today. I am sitting down here physically, literally in this studio, on this microphone, speaking to you today. There is no roadmap for what that means. No one gives you a handbook. No one tells you to sit down quietly before the transplant and says, by the way, you're about to carry something that has no name yet. You're about to work with a relationship that the world does not have good language for. And it is different for everyone. I try to find my way in all of this fugue that I find myself. Some recipients never know who their donor was, and the donation is anonymous. But life goes on. And the gratitude becomes something internal, a private practice, a way of moving through the world that changed the day you woke up with a second chance. Some recipients do know. Some have met the families, some have letters, like I do. Some relationships have become friendships, partnerships, sometimes neither side fully expected. And those can be beautiful, really. And they can also be complicated. And that's why the NHS Blood and Transplant and the government is doing this, because they understand that. And they try to save everybody that pain. So that if you decide that you want to meet each other, then you make the arrangement through them and take it forward. Because what do you do when the person who gave their loved one's organ is struggling? When they reach out on a hard anniversary, when they are not okay, you received a gift, but you did not sign up to hold someone's grief. And that does happen. These are not simple questions, and I want to honor that. Now for living donors, the relationship is different. A living donor made a decision while still in their own body, still fully alive, still going home to their family and their job and their everyday life. They gave something from themselves, from a tragedy, from a choice. That is a different weight to carry for both people, because the recipient knows the donor is still out there, still living. And somewhere in that relationship, however close or distant it is, there is a question that does not always get asked out loud. Are you okay? Because of what you gave, are you okay? I want to talk about what I've come to understand about gratitude. I mentioned this earlier. Gratitude, real gratitude, the kind that has survived something, it's not a feeling. It's not the rush of relief when you wake up and the transplant has worked. That passes. What stays is something quieter, something that reshapes how you make decisions. It asks you, are you using this well? Are you doing enough with what you've been given? And sometimes, I'll be honest, that question becomes a burden. A standard you cannot always meet, a way of turning a gift into a debt. I had to learn to stop doing that. I had to learn that the donor's family or the living donor did not give this gift so that I could spend my life trying to earn it. They gave it so that I could live, so I could be present, so I could, in my own way, pass something of that forward. That is what the show is. That is what my advocacy you see me doing each day is. Not a debt I'm paying, a life I'm living out loud so that someone else might live theirs. And if you're sitting somewhere tonight carrying a relationship like this, donor wondering how the recipient is doing, a recipient not sure how to carry the weight of what they received, a family member trying to make sense of a decision that happened in your worst moment, I want you to know there is no wrong way to feel it. You do not owe anyone a particular emotion. You owe yourself the truth of what you actually feel, and then slowly you find what to do with it. That is the work, and it is worth doing. Gratitude is not a feeling, it is a practice. A choice you make on the mornings when it is easy and the night when it is hard. I want to play you a little song about from Brandon Luke called Gratitude, and I think that would help you to understand this. The kind of gratitude that has weight, that has survived something that is not cheap. This is gratitude. Don't go away.
Oh, my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end. You never do. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah.
Welcome back. That was a little snapshot of Gratitude by Brandon Lake. Time is going. You know, when we start talking, you know, the time just flies by. I want to leave you with something practical, something you can act on today. Because every time we talk, everything we've talked about tonight, every story you've heard, every truth, every emotion leads to one moment, the moment you decide. And this is how you can make that moment count. It takes only 2 minutes registering as an organ donor. The actual registration takes 2 minutes. That's 2 minutes on your phone right now while you're listening to this show. Just go to the NHS website, organdonation.nhs.uk, and in 2 minutes, your name is on the register. Please don't say, oh, I'm going to do it later, because whilst you're listening to me right now, the passion is there. You are thinking, I want to do something. The link is simple. The action is simple. The conversation, once you have it, is simpler than you think. Start tonight. And also, show up and keep going. Bring somebody with you every Sunday, your whole family. Tell them about my show. Tell them about Hilaria Asumu, who is who has a show where she talks about kidney disease and shares a story and talks about second chances that we can have. And, you know, unfortunately, we are at the end of the show today. I want to close this part of our conversation with something personal. I was not supposed to be here. I mean that medically. I mean that in terms of odds. In 2017, I was preparing to die. Not dramatically, but practically. I was making arrangements. I was saying things to people that you say when you do not expect to say them again. And then a family somewhere, in a moment of impossible grief, made a decision. And here I am today. I do not take that lightly. I cannot take that lightly. It is not in me to treat this life as ordinary. But I've also had to learn that living loudly, living usefully, and living in the community, showing up and advocating and building and speaking is not showing off. No, it is honor. It is the most complete form of thank you that I know how to give. So I keep building I keep showing up. I keep having this conversation on this microphone every week with you, even on the nights when it costs something to say it out loud. But because someone somewhere is listening tonight, who is in the position I was in 2017, on a waiting list, running out of time, hoping that somewhere someone would say yes, this show is for them. This partnership with NHS Blood and Transplant is for them. And every conversation you have tonight at your table, in your family, in your community, is for them. You do not have to be a doctor. You do not have to be a politician. You do not have to be on a radio show. You just have to be willing to say, this matters. And so does the person waiting. That is enough. That is everything. Second chances are not given, they are received, and they come with a weight, a responsibility, a story you have to carry forward and share. And that is what this show is about every week. If tonight moved you, tell someone. If it changed your mind, act on it. If it gave you language for something you've been carrying quietly, use it. Register at organdonation.nhs.uk and find the African Caribbean Kidney Support Network on Facebook and follow Second Chances on Radio Africana. I'm Hilaria Asumu and this is Second Chances with Radio Africana. I'll see you next week. Good night. Here is Tenny with Uyomeyo. I'll see you back here next week. Thank you.
Kajo kajo kajo, kayo kayo kajo. Uyo me yole uo san oku mi. Uyo me ya, uyo me ya. Oh uyo, uyo me yole uo san oku mi. Uyo me ya, uyo me ya. Believe me, yeah.